Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Janmarishyeti Pashubudhi Mimam Jahi Najata Pragabhuto Dhyā Dehavatvam Nanankshasi. Please pay very careful attention. These are the final instructions, part of them, to Maharaj Prakrit. Tvam, you. Tu, but. Rajan, O king. Marishye, I am about to die. She's speaking about Marishyate means what? Yes, please. Say again. Yes. Marishyati means? Yes. So he's speaking, oh you, oh king, Rajan, Tvam you. But you, oh king, Marishyati, I'm about to die, Pashu Budim. What does Pashu? Oh, we haven't even said what it means yet. Pashu Budim means? Animalistic mentality. Pashu Budim, animalistic mentality. Budim, intelligence, the intelligence of the way of thinking that Marishyati, I'm going to die. He's condemning this mentality so strongly as Pashu Budi, the way that an animal thinks, as opposed to the way that a human thinks. Because a human being is obviously of higher intellectual capacity, of higher ability than an animal. So, what a strong condemnation of the mentality that more or less every single person in this world possesses, no better than an animal. In other words, you haven't used your life properly if you've gained nothing more of realization than the same realization that an animal has. Very, very heavy. So, Pashu Budim Imam. This mentality, this pashubuti, that what? What is the mentality he's saying to give up? What's the Sanskrit word here? Mrishyati. And that means? I'm about to die. So this mentality, this animalistic mentality, that I'm about to die, Jahi, give up. Not. Jataha, born. Previously. Abhuta, non-existent. Adya, today. Dehavat, like the body. Tvam, you. Nanankshasi, will not be destroyed. Yes. two. It should have been three rings for that. Not be destroyed. Bang, bang, bang. We are eternal. And to think otherwise is considered an animalistic mentality. It's quite a condemnation of how I, of my consciousness. Here is the translation. Okay. Give up the animalistic mentality of thinking I'm going to die. Unlike the body, you have not taken birth. There was not a time in the past when you did not exist, and you are not about to be destroyed. Please repeat. O King. Give up the animalistic mentality.
Give up the animalistic mentality.
Of thinking.
I'm
going to die.
I'm going to die.
Unlike the body.
Unlike the body.
You have not taken birth.
You have not taken birth.
So unlike the body, you have not taken birth, which means that the body has taken birth, but you are not your body. Unlike the body, you have not taken birth. The body has taken birth, but you as an eternal soul, an eternal individual, has never taken birth, nor will you die. Now what book have we read this information from? Yes! No wonder you are called Mahatma. Yes. You will not die when the body dies. Nahanyate, hanyamene, sharire. When the body dies, you will not die. What a revolutionary concept. Because how this concept, what is it when we say revolutionary or radical? Why? What does the word radical mean? Does anyone know? It has a Latin root. Oh, I just gave it away. It means root. Like muli. Mula. It means root. It cuts. This concept is the root concept that keeps us in material consciousness, in the material world. Material consciousness keeps us in the material world. It is the root concept. And for us to get out of the material world, our concept, our consciousness, has to be changed at the very root. Now, what's the significance of it changing at the very root? What does that mean? You can't answer all the questions. It's always the ones who sit in the back who give the most trouble. The back of the classroom. It's always, you know, when you're in the third grade, there's always guys who are, at least in the United States, there's guys who are 15 years old who are sitting in the back like that. So why is this consciousness, the root consciousness of our being, of our being in material existence, that I am the body? Why? Okay, the Mataji sort of.
Because the idea of we are never going to be one
way. Yes, and the body is the vehicle through which our enjoyment takes place, and the body is based on what?
Senses.
Yeah, body is a composite of senses, but what's the basis? What is the body based on? Adishya manasya visha upasevate. What is the body based on? Why do we have this? Look, with so many individuals, why do we have each have our own particular body that we have? It's based on desire, yes, it's based on our mentality. All the desires, and of course what we deserve, especially when we're leaving this world, they come back to us. They haunt us, so to speak. Oh, this part of my life was frustrating. Only if I could have done this, I could have more of that, and this didn't happen. Only if I could have gotten even with my enemy at a proper time. So many desires. So many desires. And they are based, they are grouped around the mind, which is basically the body. The body is the form of the desires, suitable form of the desires that we have, so we can express those desires and try our best to enjoy ourselves in the material world, to seek the pleasure that we, the soul, is deeply hankering for. So therefore, there are many ways that we can look at this verse, but therefore, the prime way, the simplest way we can look at this verse, is that Maharaj Prickett is about to leave this world. We started this journey with him, in one sense, in the beginning of the book so long ago, in the first canto, where he was cursed to die by the Brahmin boy whose name was
Shingi.
And now we've been following him for the second canto, the third canto, the fourth canto, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth canto, where Krishna's pastimes in Mathura, Vrindavan, Mathura again, in Dwarka, were described, and then the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, and now in the 12th, he's finally, it's at the time when he's going to leave. And the first chapter of this 12th canto is discussing the succession of kings, one after another. All that's left is a list of names now. Just as the same point is made in the 9th canto of the Bhagavatam. Then in the second chapter, describing Kali Yuga, as time progresses, Kali Yuga must come. As people increase their sinful activities, they increase their sinful mentality and the sinful reactions, and Kali Yuga must come. But as we have heard in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, Kali Yuga cannot stand in front of Maharaj Prickett. But Kali Yuga must come. So Maharaj Prickett must leave. Kali Yuga must come. The cycle of ages, just like old age, must follow from middle age. It must happen unless you exit early. So Maharaj Prickett must leave, so Kali Yuga must come. And the fact that Kali Yuga is coming, it's like if you go somewhere to enjoy yourself, you go to a party, but then you hear at the end of the party, everyone is going to start eating each other and killing each other. Do you have attachment to want to, will you have attachment to stay to the very end? No. That's what Kali Yuga is like. We've heard about that in that second chapter. People actually, and Mataji Dantwini mentioned yesterday, there's no food. People eat each other. Pashu Buddhi, it's based on this animal mentality. I'm here to enjoy. So we keep remaining desires in our consciousness. And the time of death, and actually life, is meant for two things going on at the same time. It is not meant for increasing wealth and fame, those aren't the two things, but rather, or health, wealth, and fame, or health, wealth, and fame, and financial security, or financial enjoyment, etc. No, the two things are detachment from this world of matter and attachment to Krishna. Itraiva kinkara. That all the rules and regulations to get us to think about Krishna, to develop an attachment to Krishna. So, detachment from matter and attachment from attachment to Krishna is what Maharaj Prickett, of course, he's acting as a servant here. But this is what's been going on in the Bhagavatam. Where is an example of where detachment from matter has been discussed in the Bhagavatam? Which cantos? Eleventh canto. Yeah, very, very intellectual discussion on that. How about very hard-hitting descriptions? Yes. Showing what there's in one verse, one or two verses, the whole thing that Puccini Bharahishad Maharaj from the story of Paranjana is described. He gives an example of a deer trying to drink water and enjoy and satisfy his thirst. And on one side, there's a tiger. And on the other side, there's a hunter. And there he is. If he runs this way, the hunter gets him. If he runs that way, the tiger gets him. And there he is, sort of innocently trying to drink some water. Remove the thirst that is sitting in his throat. But he's being stalked on both sides, the hunter and the tiger. That's the summary of the material world. We're trying to enjoy ourselves, but on both sides we're being stalked. And whichever way we try to run, it's either the hunter or the tiger. That's the freedom of the material world. Which would you like? The hunter or the tiger? So when we're confronted with that, and we begin to experience that's what the ultimate rule is in the material world, the hunter or the tiger, then we become detached. But detachment isn't enough. Because it's the very nature of the soul, the person, not the body, to become attached. So the question is, where should we place our consciousness? Because jayato visya pum san sangas tejo pajayate. What does that verse mean? Of course, it's hard to understand it when Sanskrit is spoken with a Brooklyn accent. But, yeah, jayato visya pum san. When a person meditates on the objects of the senses, what happens? Sangas tejo vijaya. He becomes attached. So whatever we meditate upon, we become attached. So therefore, we shouldn't meditate upon the objects of the senses, the things of the world of matter, unless we want to get a suitable material body, another attempt to enjoy in this world. Another attempt, and try again. This one time I wasn't successful. I had so many great plans, and I believe the advertisements that I read, but it didn't work out exactly the way I had planned. Has anyone ever had that experience to go into something with a great expectation, but it didn't work out the way I was hoping it would work out? Has anyone had that experience? Yes, you've had it. Anyone who's over 12 probably has had that experience, or maybe even 4 or 2. Or even just coming out of the womb. Wait a second, it wasn't supposed to be like this. Sorry, this is the very nature of the material world. But yet that's not enough. Because the soul's nature is to want pleasure. So detachment, detachment, detachment leaves us in a very precarious position. Rather, we should become detached, which is not worthy, from that which is not worthy of our attachment. And we should become very attached, completely attached, 100% attached to Krishna. Yes. To Krishna. Now let's read the purport here. So now he's hammering on the point to be detached from this body. Don't even think that you're going to die. In the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, I can't remember the exact chapter or the verses, but it describes, it's so powerful. It describes how Krishna himself is speaking. And he describes like when there's a bird in a tree, and he finds out, that bird finds out that the tree is going to be cut down. He may have his nest in the tree. He may be used to that tree. That may be the very tree that every night when the sun goes down, he flies to and roosts, and he jumps off from that tree because it's nearby the lake where he gets his water the next morning. But yet, when he finds out the tree is going to be cut down, he shouldn't lament. He should disentangle himself from the attachment to that tree, and he should simply fly away and find another tree and live happily there. So, it's incredible. Our relationship, Krishna is saying that our relationship with our body, who I so strongly identify with, is no more than the same relationship between a bird and a tree. The bird sits in a tree, squawk, 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 and then after some time he flies away. And he is not hurt by that, he finds another tree. Because he's not attached. So this attachment, not the being in the body, for example, not dealing with the things of this material world, but it's our attachment, the mentality of trying to squeeze, the feeling of ownership and enjoyership. This is my facility to enjoy myself. This is going to be the source of my pleasure. That's what causes attachment to take birth. And this mentality is condemned, this pashu-buddhi, the mentality of an animal. In other words, no knowledge, no understanding, no truth sits in his heart. Here's the purport. At the end of the first canto, and this will shift to a different level, the discussion. At the end of the first canto, Maharaj Prickett stated, Tan mopa jatam pratyantu vipra ganga cha devi dritta chitam mishe dvijo pasrita kulkas tachova dakshavalam gayata vishnugata. O Brahmanas. So this is at the very beginning of the Bhagavatam. This was Parikit Maharaj's mood at the very beginning. This is how he was thinking as all the Brahmanas came, because they heard that the great king, the great devotee, Parikit was going, he had been cursed to die, and he accepted the curse, and he had decided to sit down at the bank of the Ganga, and he approached the Brahmanas, and soon he was going to approach Sukadev Goswami, and he said to them, this, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul, and let Mother Ganga, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way, for I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. What do you remember from what he just said? What we heard him say. Yes, that's the easy part, the last thing. What was before that? Please accept me. But yes, sages and Brahmanas. You have something else to do or something? You have to go to school or something? Hare Krishna. Good to see you. He said, please accept me as a surrendered soul. I am under your shelter now. I'm not taking shelter of my body. If I take shelter of my body, I'm doomed. But I'm taking shelter of you, the Brahmanas, the learned souls, and also Mother Ganga, who is the representative of the Lord. Now, what does he want? Now, this is something that's so difficult for every conditioned soul, and especially at the time of death or nearing the time of death, it's to surrender, to place ourselves under the care of another, because we don't have the ability to take care of ourselves. But yet, we have to, because we don't have the ability to take care of ourselves. We lose that. So we end up putting ourselves under the care of the nurses, the doctors, or whatever. And they help as much as they can, and it's well appreciated help. They help on the level of the body, and then expert people come in and soothe our mind, and they help on the level of the mind, because the mind is so disturbed. But the ultimate help that we need, not that those aren't important, but those without the help given to the soul taking shelter when the soul needs to take shelter, the others are ultimately of not very much value. So he continues, I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart, and therefore he can be so surrendered. Because his ultimate surrender is to the lotus feet of the Lord, to the Lord, to Krishna. He has placed himself in the hands of Krishna, and then whatever happens, there is Krishna's mercy in that. Easy to talk about these things. Easy to preach to others. But at the time of death, the depth of our realization is tested. Mrityu janme hoy, bhajan kare, sadhan kare, mrityu janme hoy. The test of our life's gain is tested at this time. So where is his shelter? I've already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Just hear the security that he has. And let that snake bird or whatever magical thing the Brahmana created bite me at once. I only desire that you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. Now, here is a hero. He is someone that we should follow his example and instructions. So, purple here continues. Even before hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Prickett was a Mahabhagavata. So this is an important point that we'll be discussing. A great and pure devotee of Lord Krishna. There was actually no animalistic fear of death within the king. But for our sake, Sukadev Goswami is speaking very strongly to his disciple, just as Lord Krishna speaks strongly to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. So Maharaj Prickett, in other words, there was no need for Maharaj Prickett to hear this specific ABC level of instruction again. But there are many levels, reasons why he's spoken it. More Sukadev is speaking like this. And the first one is for us. He doesn't need it because from the very beginning he had the lotus feet in the Lord in his heart. And from the very beginning he was detached from the rotten material body. Or you could say, instead of saying rotten material body, we could say rotting material body, because it is indeed always rotting. And if one doesn't throw water on it every day, it begins to stink like something that's rotting. Because it is. It's decomposing, falling apart. So he didn't need this kind of preaching because he already was ready to, okay, anyway, let the snake bird or whatever, whatever, come. Because my security, my shelter isn't in this world. It's not in the body. It's in the lotus feet of the Lord. So my only request to you is, my only desire is, please to sing the glories of Krishna, of Lord Vishnu. Soul fixed, soul fixed. So the Lord knew who he was dealing with when he allowed this curse to go on. So that's the end of the purport here. So then one could ask the question, well, I want to trust Krishna. But then we were speaking about this yesterday, the day before. But how about Jagbharat? And also in the, what canto of the Bhagavatam? The crocodile? Huh? And Gajendra, 8th canto, right in the very beginning. That chapter is titled what? Who knows the Sanskrit name of that? Gajendra Moksha, the liberation of Gajendra. And who was Gajendra in his last life? Does anyone know? Do you know? Yeah, he was a king, and he became an animal. And Jagbharat, what did he become? A deer. Big eyes and cute, but still a dumb, flea-ridden deer. And not only that, but the great devotee whose name was Chitraketu became a demon. So how is it that I can completely, because you can only completely surrender to someone whom you trust, and not only what do you trust about the person? What do you trust about the person? And this is where the doubts come in. Why we don't want to surrender, or not we don't want to surrender, but it's so difficult to surrender, because we don't have the trust. Another word for trust is faith. And what do we mean by surrender? We mean Gotrupte Varanam Data. I'm in your hands, Krishna. Just like Maharaj Prakrit is saying, let whatever happen, but what I want, I keep you in my heart, and I want to hear about you and serve you. So you, to surrender, to put yourself completely in Krishna's hands under his protection, you need trust, you need faith. But trust and faith in what? So this is one lecture I heard Prabhupada give, and he even says the purpose of reading the Bhagavatam, all these books, he said, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, is that we learn, that we have faith that Krishna is all powerful. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but not very much. That he is all powerful and all merciful. And then we will be able to surrender. Because if he's all powerful, but not all merciful, it's quite dangerous, isn't it? You don't know what the heck he's going to do next. And if he's all merciful, but not all powerful, well, anyway, he's well-meaning, but he'd like to help if he could. But so you can't quite surrender to someone unless they have both those qualities. So the purpose of this, our reading, very much Prabhupada was saying, is that we develop Shraddha. That yes, Krishna actually is all powerful and all merciful. And therefore, I can place myself completely under His care. And Prabhupada then said, for a fortunate person, this can take one moment. Just like that. And then he said, and if you want to do research work, then it will take Muhu Janma, many births. So, but what about Jadbharat? What about Chitraketu? He became a demon. They were devotees. Chitraketu, and look at Maharaj Prickett. There he was, the king, doing quite well for himself. Cursed to die? Did he lose? No, he went back to Godhead clearly. We'll hear about that. But how about Jadbharat? He became an animal. Now that's considered a big step down from a human being. That's becoming an elephant like King Indradumna, or becoming a demon. Now Srila Jiva Goswami describes that there is a great message in Chitraketu's becoming a demon, and it is not that a devotee can fall down from the highest platform, although there's some message in that for us, that we should be very careful and never think I'm such a great devotee that I can't degrade myself and suffer from it. So there's a lesson for us in that. But actually, as Chitraketu, his consciousness was not only when he became Vritrasura. Srila Jiva Goswami describes, this shows that the supreme, swatantra, independent nature of bhakti, that it can manifest anywhere, wherever it wants. Bhakti is independent. It can manifest anywhere. Even in the body of a demon. This is the all-merciful, independent nature of bhakti. But there's more to the explanation than this. That's Chitraketu, and then Indradumna and Bharat becoming a crocodile. What a horrible birth a crocodile is. It's a big mouth and teeth with a tail. That's all it is. It just grabs you and pulls you down, drowns you, and then eats you. What a horrible birth. A deer is more innocent. But still, it's a dumb deer. A fall down. How could he fall down? He was on the platform of Bhava, basically. So this is what we were discussing. So Prabhupada describes this, interestingly enough, in the second canto, the second chapter of the tenth canto. This topic comes up, and the conclusion of Srila Prabhupada and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is, they appear when these things happen to a devotee, they're not actually falling down. There's the element of Krishna's mercy in there. And what happens, because what does fall down mean? What does it mean? It means a falling down of consciousness. But if you're in a situation, you fall down, you're in a position of suffering, of misery, and your consciousness is degraded. It falls down. But Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes that this is not actually a fall down, because what happened to these exalted persons, and he names these three, Indradumna Maharaj, and Chitraketu, and Bharata Maharaj, was that their love for Krishna increased hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. Like Bharat Maharaj, he was a little negligent, But after going through the body of a deer and leaving his body and praying to the Lord as a deer, he was given the gift of having perfected consciousness, practically speaking, even as a deer. Is that a fall down? And all he is doing is thinking, oh, I'll never make this mistake again. I'll never become attached to anything other than the lotus feet of Krishna. And thereby thinking continuously of the lotus feet of Krishna, and thinking of Krishna and Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's activities. And his love is increasing hundreds and hundreds of times. This is the explanation of Vishwanath. And we see the same point from a different angle in the life of Narada Muni. The same point being made here is that at the time that life is meant for these two things. One, to give up attachment on the material level, and the other is to become fully attached to Krishna. Indeed, this is the definition of love, and love is the requirement for love in a specific mood, is the requirement of going back home, back to serve Sri Sri Radha Balabha and Goloka Vrindavan. We cannot go without love, and the definition of love is Ananya Mamata Vishnu. Mamata prema sangata uchite iti. That bhakti, this is what bhakti means. It means that we have a sense of mamata, of possessiveness, that this is mine. And having that sense of relationship, only ananya mamata Vishnu, only on Krishna. Nothing else. And then, mamata, that same sense with prema sangata, that same sense of ownership is endowed, it's enriched with love, with prema. This is the definition of love given by Uddhava. Mahajans, Uddhava, Bhishma, Prahlad, and Bhishmadev, if I didn't say it. This is described in the Bhakti Samhita Sindhu Nectar of Devotion. Means there has to be a focusing of consciousness. And that consciousness has to be full of love. And it has to be focused. It can't be mahushaka. If you want to go to Golok, this is what has to happen. There has to be love. So the story of Narada, of the life of Narada Muni, really exhibits this. Because Narada was born in such an superficially difficult circumstance. His mother was just a maid servant. He didn't have a father. She had no wealth, no income, no nothing. And then to make things worse, his mother died, bitten by a snake. So Krishna has placed this poor boy in such an unfortunate circumstance. But he had a blessing. And that blessing was what? He had associated with some Bhaktivedantas who taught him very clearly about what the purpose of life was and how to achieve it. They taught him the Chattasloki Bhagavatam right before they left. They taught him the whole Bhagavatam about Krishna, about what is not Krishna? What is not Krishna? Nothing. That's just Maya, illusion, which also comes from Krishna. They taught him about the goal, prayojan, which is love for Krishna. They taught him about the process of achieving it. Uh-huh. And then he was on his own just wandering, and he had darshan of Krishna. And then after seeing Krishna, he was meditating and he saw Krishna. He was so serious that Krishna came to him, and suddenly that vision of Krishna disappeared from his consciousness and he went mad. Because it's one thing to try to keep pushing away matter, pushing away matter. I shouldn't be attached, I shouldn't be attached. But if we don't develop that attachment to Krishna, all that pushing won't be successful, because the consciousness needs something positive to hold on to. So he had that. Finally, he had that. Krishna actually came, appeared, Sakshat Darshan, directly in front of him. And then Krishna disappeared. And he jumped up like a madman. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? This was the mood that Mahaprabhu had after he took initiation. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? There was no other desire, because the contrast was so great. I want, I want, I want, and then I had it, and then it disappeared. And then that most desirable object in his pure heart wasn't there anymore, and all he could think about was how to get Krishna, how could I be with Krishna, how could I be with Krishna. And then the Lord spoke, and the Lord said, Hantasmin Janmane Bhava Namam Drasto Iharati. You won't deserve, you don't actually deserve to see me again in this life. Oh dear one, I have shown myself to you, but in this life you won't see me again. Dudarshoham Kuyogna. Because you still have some impurities in your heart. And then the Lord spoke again and said, but if you always chant and hear about me and desire to be with me, I'll read that verse. Then all the dirt within your heart, whatever is there that shouldn't be there, that's an obstacle, that's a disqualification for you to be with me always, by this process of chanting always and focusing absorption of the consciousness on Krishna, that is the process that will remove everything remaining that separates. Here's the verse. He said, Sakrid, once only, Yad Dudarsham Rupam, I've given you darshan of my form, Etat Kamaya Te Anaga, and this was just to increase your hankering for me, your desire for me, O Anaga, O sinless one, Mat Kama Shanakai Sadhu Matkama, by this kam, by that desire, by Shanakai, by increasing that desire, O Sadhu, O Devotee, Sarvan Munchati Ritsayan, all material desires will be removed from the heart. And then we will be together. So after the Lord left and said that, Narada Muni was so thankful. And then what did he do? He just wandered in the world, just chanting and hearing, and he just didn't care about anything or anyone anymore. He just chanted and chanted and heard about Krishna, and he chanted and chanted and chanted and chanted and chanted and chanted and chanted. And chanted. And what was his mood as he was doing that? There are three qualities that are mentioned. One, he was self-satisfied. Because unless you're self-satisfied, you can't do that. You can't be detached. You have to be getting the happiness from inside. He was humble. Because he knew whatever he had was just simply coming by Krishna's mercy. And he was not envious. Let other people have what they have. And even though I don't have anything, I just want this one thing. And then at some point, after wandering and wandering, having so many experiences, but being centered fully on Krishna throughout everything, it was time for him to leave. And the exact moment that his body dropped, his spiritual body was there, like lightning and illumination happened at the same time. Because he had cultivated his whole life, he was cultivating his spiritual life. So therefore, the death of his body didn't touch him at all. He practically didn't notice, because he was alive. So this is one of the no, thank you. That means the class is over. Okay, any questions? Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? It's heavy. Hi, Bob. Here you go. Good to see you. Hare Krishna. You've come in at the very end, by the way, in case you didn't notice. It's all right. We were having fun. At least I was having fun. I don't know about anyone else. Now two Krishna's two ninja warriors are leaving.
Material setbacks.
For?
For our personality.
Yes.
They're actually protected because their consciousness was protected. Can we expect the same sort of protection from Krishna if we have difficulties in the devotional service?
Definitely.
Exalted.
Definitely. Definitely. If we have the vision, the part that makes them exalted Vaishnavas is how they saw the difficulties on the deepest level. So if we can adopt that vision, we'll certainly be in a similar position. So then the question is, well, what happens if I can't have that vision? Does Krishna flick me off? Get rid of me? No. Sakre deva vapanam yas tava smriti chayachate abhayam sarvada tasmai. Just one time chanting. One time sincerely calling out the holy name of Krishna. He says that if you do this, Krishna thinks it is my duty to protect him. And this is when we see Ajamil. This is an example. There's so many examples. So many devotees can contemporary devotees in difficult times felt the touch of Krishna's hand upon them, and they understood that Krishna was there. But it's a little, there's more can be said about that topic, but yes, how could we surrender unless we accept that Krishna is indeed all merciful and that he doesn't forget whatever little service we've done in his, to please him.
What characteristic keeps a devotee in good standing? Because I know we chatted about the other day, and we talked about many of the senior devotees when we joined up, and who brought us to Krishna consciousness, raised us, and protected us. So now they're not active in ISKCON, active in Prabhupada's mission. And we're trying to wait, you know, what is it that kept us with Krishna and with Prabhupada? And those are those who did so much for Prabhupada and did, you know, protected us also and nurtured us in our Krishna consciousness, but then they apparently are not engaged in they don't have that protection. Apparently.
Yes, but there's two things I could I'll mention on that. That's the 2-minute warning going off. So we'll end at 9. That one thing is they do have Krishna's protection. They do have it. It's just everything has its time, but they do have Krishna's protection. And the second thing, why us? That I asked that question as soon as I started chanting, because so many of my friends I thought were more sincere than me, and so many better qualified, but they didn't really take to a spiritual path. And I just some causeless mercy, perhaps, and just mercy, just some kindness from above. The other devotees will say, oh, sincerity, 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 or something like that. But we know the truth. Just some luck, somehow or another. At least for now, we're here. Hold on. Okay, we have 30 seconds more of questions and answers. Anyone have a 30-second question? Okay. Was that a yes or a no? Did you have a question? No? Okay, then we'll end. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Jagrat Valdez Subhajra Devi Sisi Sarabalava Bhaktivindi Ki Jai.